This is a production of Cornell University.
GPSA meeting, November 26, 2007.
So we're waiting.
Okay, we're going to call this meeting to order. This is the fourth assembly meeting of the 2007-2008 academic year for the GPSA. And my name is Michelle Weinfelder, as most of you know, but just as a brief introduction, UU is not able to be here tonight, and that's why I'm conducting this meeting. And so basically everything will go on as normal, but you'll just be hearing a different voice. And so with that, we'll move on to the second item on our agenda, which is approval of the last meeting's minutes. Hopefully you had a chance to look those over, but if not, just take a couple minutes to peruse them and see if there's anything that jumps out at you as not being correct. Yes, Rebecca.
It's pretty minor, but there's a typo in the third sentence of the second paragraph of item 8.
Okay, can you repeat that again, Rebecca? I'm sorry.
There's a typo in section 8.
Uh-huh.
The second paragraph, third sentence, just the missing letter.
Oh, a he.
I'm sorry, it was
funny. He instead of E.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Good.
Here. Any other
do we have any other comments?
Move to approve minutes from 10:22.
Do I have a second? Thank you. All those in favor? Opposed? Abstaining? All right, minutes approved. Thank you. Next, we'll move on to open forum. This is where anyone from the community or from the assembly can bring up items that are not on the agenda, and so I welcome you to go ahead, raise your hand, and if we have a long list of people, I ask that Amy keep a list of people as they indicate. Okay, we've got Adam, we have Andy, and we have Leslie. And we have Jen, and we have Ann. Okay, Adam. Go ahead and begin.
My name is Adam Gay. I'm the Vice President of Finance of the Student Assembly for undergraduates. I just wanted to address you guys, just to make sure that we will have time to speak later. We really want to talk about the allocation of the activity and the things we'll say. So would that be more appropriate later in the discussion, or your time for community members to speak?
Right. I believe I said that in an email to you, Adam.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we have a chance.
Great. So open forum is for items that aren't on the agenda, so I'd like to... Certainly, there is time for community members to speak at that time. We'll move on. Andy's next.
All right. I just have a real brief update from the Codes and Judicial Committee. 1 month ago, we unanimously passed as committee a draft of a revised campus code of conduct, which was unanimously approved by the University Assembly earlier this month. This is the same code of conduct we've been talking about all semester. The major change in it is off-campus jurisdiction. You can read about it, and you can read our draft at the U.S. website. The new code is not in effect yet. In order for it to go into effect, it still has to be signed by the president and ratified by the Board of Trustees. The JA has recommended an effective date of July 2008, but that's not official yet.
So, quick question for you. Is the CJC going to continue running on any other issues, or?
The CJC is a standing committee. We have, that there's always things about the code that we have to talk about, but we have suspended meetings until January.
Any comments or questions for Andy? Okay, Leslie.
Friday, November 30th,
And it's at the vet school?
It's at the vet school.
Great. Christian?
Yeah, I'm not sure if you guys sent an update or not. Regarding the Ideas Summit, I'm just wondering if at some point, I'm not sure if you want to do it at some point, but I just want to hear back from the
Ideas. Sure. You gave a brief update at the last meeting.
The core meeting.
At the last core meeting. And I believe she's working on drafting a report summarizing some of the things, but as I said, she's away and hasn't been able to get that out yet. But we'll get that out.
We can put it on the website.
Okay. We'll work on getting that on the website. Okay.
And?
So I just wanted to get a quick poll of people, probably more the agricultural students, but on the animal science department is thinking, we're going to try and get Trent Luce from Q-Plus Lectures. Does anyone know who that is, Trent Luce?
I know.
But you're, for those of you who know who he is, do you think your department would be interested in coming to talking, like in February or March? Would you go to the attending of the Yeah, what about for
Trent? His name sounds familiar.
Trent Luce, he's a big cowboy, with cowboy hat and mustache. He does a lot of Food Stuff magazine, a lot of hot topics explaining it for farmers and for regular consumers. Really good journalist.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to get a poll and see because our department trying to figure out, you know, how much should we actually pay to get this here, but other departments are interested in actually coming and try to see what we really should get. Because some people know and some people don't at all.
I'm sure if you publicized it either through this group or other grad listservs within the departments?
Because we had mixed feelings among the animal science. whatever, and we were really excited.
Well, if you want to draft something and you can send it to this group, and then, I mean, we can send it to our respective fields. Maybe you can get a better sense.
Did I miss anybody on the list? Anybody else that wanted to say something? I move that we take a 5-minute recess to go get some food.
Second.
All right. Done.
Is it on? Is it not on? Or do you want the recorder?
Turn it off.
Okay. It's back on. Okay, we're going to call this back to order. So moving on to the next item on our agenda, executive updates. I'm going to hand it over to Amy to begin.
Okay, so I'm not going to stand. So you guys all didn't, those of you that are in committees, did not get an email reminding you for committee reports for this meeting, partially because I spent last week Monday in the ER with a broken ankle, and also partially because a lot of committees are meeting this week, and so I wanted to allow for that, so that people could give their end of semester reports. So those will be all coming through sometime here in the not so distant future. And also, UU is still working on the Ivy Summit report, compiling the report from everybody who was at the Ivy Summit, and that should be available probably towards the beginning of next semester as well. Other than that, we're still looking for a few committees, so if you're interested in it, let me know. You all saw the list at the core meeting. But if you know of anybody who might be interested in the remaining committees, just send them my way.
Okay, and from my end, I guess along those same lines, we still have some open core seats, especially in the humanities. So if you know anybody in the humanities, we'd love to get them involved. Just to have some better representation, more thorough representation, you can refer them to me. And also communications, we're trying to spice up the GPSA info, added some color, had a little glitch of an email go through first off, but everything worked out fine, and hopefully that came across well to grads. So if you have any comments, feel free to send those to me or any of the other communications committee members, including Mario and Dennis and Brian and Jing Chuang, who's not here. But yeah, we welcome your feedback because we keep trying to improve upon it in ways that we think will be helpful for grads who rush professionals. So, okay, so next item, committee reports. And as Amy said, we're not going to hit on a lot of committees tonight, but we do want to hit on a very important topic, and so we've got Wasabi, who's going to bring up some issues regarding mental health.
Thanks.
I'll
so we have two meetings so far, and I think the meetings, a couple of important issues have come up. And rather than go through them, I just wrote something quickly out so that I wouldn't forget anything. So basically, in 2006, a survey of mental health and well-being was conducted by Janice Whitlock here at Cornell. She found that students more likely to be affected by mental illness were students of color, Asian students, African-American students, international students, and students questioning their sexual identity. She also found that students in distress were more likely to get treatment if their symptoms were recognized by peers, friends, or family members. There are currently several undergraduate student organizations that educate students about recognizing signs of mental illness and distress. However, there isn't a single organization for graduate students. While I would be happy to start a similar organization, sustainability is a concern. One of the undergraduate organizations, PEERS, actually works in conjunction with staff at the Office of the Dean of Students. So if we're looking to establish a group that can provide long-term support for graduate students, it's critical to have administrative support. I would also like to conduct a mental illness awareness campaign. However, developing awareness is pointless unless there are resources available for graduate students. This semester, I've come across several graduate students that have been discouraged from seeking help at CAPS. They were told that CAPS was either overloaded or they weren't taking any more patients, at which point they were referred to caretakers in the community who they felt were either substandard or were also not taking patients. So I guess I just wanted to put this issue out there and see what everyone had to say about it.
Is there a reason that it would be preferable to establish a new group rather than to work with one of these existing groups to expand their mission to include grad students?
Not necessarily. One of the ideas was to create a graduate section of EARS. So that is a possibility.
Any other comments or questions?
I
have no idea, but obviously I need to look into it a bit more. Got a question?
Because I mean, there's a huge problem. They're really part of the grad orientation.
Right.
So, it's just a new math.
Right. And this isn't new. I've been here for 4 years, and I've heard of this happening since I've been here.
Yeah. I would just echo having heard the same thing for you too about it. Although now we're really busy. Go somewhere else. You go somewhere else. And there's a little bit of really good.
Can I ask a perhaps ignorant question, but what's CAPS and what is EARS?
So CAPS is the Center for
Counseling
for
Counseling and Psychological Services.
Yes.
Okay.
And EARS is a student-run organization that trains undergraduates to counsel other undergraduates.
Okay.
So they do have some training, but they're not. Yeah.
And so one of the ideas has been to get a graduate section.
Right, and then train graduates.
For years.
Yeah,
okay.
Counsel other graduates.
Okay. Ted?
Yeah, Michelle. The years and tasks are really for the whole student community. So, I think especially the years, which is part of the students, is a place where students don't hesitate to go. There's also a student organization called Cornell Students Matters, which has done enormous amount of things over the last several years. It was created by a student who had come down with bipolar illness as an engineering sophomore student. took the lead and came back and realized there really needed to be a group of students who was support group, self-organized for the purposes of student welfare and health. So I guess if the perception amongst graduate students is that half of years is not for them, we need to do whatever we can to dispel that and make sure these serve students. These services are available for all students. There's definitely no question in my mind that graduate students have a need for these services at least as much as undergraduate students. And we need to get the word out and get these services, these offices, to render services to all students.
So I just wanted to say something a little bit to that. In the fact that I would have a hard time seeing somebody who is in their second year or third year of undergrad, me being in my fourth year of grad school, as kind of a peer counseling type of thing. So I can see why a lot of graduate students would have a hard time, because the stresses and the mental strains that you're going through are very different. So if we want to make both these organizations more open to the community, Cornell community as a whole, I think we really need to work to kind of address that issue as well.
I don't want to put the tie dash on any discussion that comes out of GPSA, and I certainly want to encourage you all, and that's especially as part of the Mental Health Committee, to bring forward these ideas and make these concerns. But to echo what Kent says, I've been working with the advisor for years to try and target and recruit graduate students to do a graduate student-only group, but it's, you know, there's a cost-benefit analysis that all of you guys go through when you're trying to decide where you're going to put your time, and here is a volunteer group. So we're hoping next fall to start recruiting this spring so that in the next fall round there can actually be a cohort of 20 or so graduate students who'd be interested in being trained as year recruits. I know Kate Carr, who's the advisor for Cornell Market Matters, has also been interested in recruiting and working with graduate students on that group. From the Gannett CAP perspective, there are actually three different components of Gannett counseling and psychological support services. There is the traditional therapy that occurs in the building, the CAP therapist schedules appointments. And I don't have the numbers here. I can certainly get them to you guys, and they can be distributed. But graduate students are seen in a greater percentage than undergrads are across the board in counseling and psychological services. There aren't enough counselors to hit the demand, and I do know that they do outreach referrals. It's been handled cavalierly, or if people have complaints about the way they individually have been treated, I would really recommend that rather than, you know, telling Janet or telling Beth Bobby, that you go back and make the appeal through the victim's advocate or the ombudsman that's within Gannett about those referrals and the indelicate way they might be handled. But apart from that, Let's Talk, which is their sort of outreach component, they actually expanded to three more sites this year, and those sites were all chosen to be more graduate student accessible. So they're at the CCC building on the Ag Quad. There's one in the basement of Caldwell Hall in the ISSO. There's one at SAGE within the Johnson School. There's one within the law school. And there's one within the engineering college, all of which were chosen because they thought they were grad accessible. If there are other ideas for sites, I know that's another program that they're interested in expanding. And I'll just refer you guys to check their website for more information, because if I try and paraphrase now, our statistics, I'm going to have to really keep it up. Numbers are not my thing. The third component that the next services is something called the CCI, which is at this point two full-time therapist counselors who actually work with the graduate field rep, the advising offices, faculty, and myself in going out and identifying and working with graduate students in need. So how that's laid out so far, and mind you, I've only been here since July, is we met with all the new DGFs, all the new GFAs, all of the GFAs, and we're going meeting with the DPS is by concentration field, humanities, sciences, life sciences. Those are the three that I've participated in so far. Anyway, we're talking to them about the Gannett services, and either myself or one of the two counselors can go in and sort of case manage with a particular CFA or DPS if there's a concern. I'd say the biggest part, and that needs to be elaborated upon, and there's always incredible room for growth and improvement. I'd say that the peer training and counseling is the piece that I think is the most in absence. How to reach out to graduate students who have concerns about their peers and getting them to get their peers to get help. Because as the study indicated, Janice's study indicated, it's peers that first notice the visuals, and followed by families and friends. And so I think that that's an integral part that's missing in the Cornell services, is there is no training program for peers or for peer support. I have met with a variety of CAP staff and staff from the Dean of Students Office of Student Support to try and look at ways that we can target and capture and train groups of graduate students via the TA training program, the international TA training program, the residential program, live-in staff, a variety of ways we've been looking at, or targeting year-specific training for graduate students. Again, I'm not saying this to say that we fixed it, but that when I first read the draft, I was like, well, none of us talks about what we're doing for graduate students, but we are trying to do this, and we certainly welcome your input on what would make sense. Certainly, as part of the GCI working group, we're looking to the Mental Health Committee to step forward with ideas in response, and I think we need to forward. I probably paused more questions than I answered. Top of my head, there we go.
I think one of the problems is that even though there are these resources, I don't know if very many graduate students know about them. I mean, has anybody heard of Let's Talk?
No. No, I've seen one sign. I take that back. But I saw it in Caldwell. And the only time I go to Caldwell is to turn forms in.
And I have a colleague who went to one of the ones in Caldwell and found it so full that they couldn't see her and she went away.
Wow. Okay.
Do you know if anything is being done from the CAP side?
They lifted us from like 9 to 10 locations and sessions to 13 this semester. So they really are trying, and I guess, you know, just that once you don't succeed, there are 12 other locations and 12 other sessions a week. And, you know, the other thing is my office is just upstairs from the site in Caldwell, and I can always advocate for getting somebody in more quickly. If I'm not in a community.
Do we have any other questions or comments on this matter? Okay. Bobby, did you get good information? Okay. And hopefully you and Brenda can be in touch about some of the information that she has. And
I think communication is again the big issue. Getting the word out, telling grad students in 97 different fields and professional schools know about the resources. A centralized place.
Ms. Sabe, if you want to write up some short little summary about, you know, here are some resources that are available for grad students, I'll put it in GPSA info.
Okay.
I mean, why not? We need to make sure people know what's available. So whenever you have that ready, I'm happy to do that for you. Dave.
I appreciate the desire for this services, and I think the off-the-field and very true response to all of that is that what's the point of advertising services that pretty much don't have room for any more people? I don't think that the real problem is getting more people, getting people to look to try to get into these services. It's having enough capacity in these services to actually get students into counseling. I mean, the worst thing you can do is, in my opinion, to someone who's, you know, finally made the decision to need help, is to say, you need to come back next week, or you need to find your own provider in the community, or you need to go to another place. You know, working against. So
yeah.
I don't think this is necessarily a good thing.
There are two points I want to make there. Thank you guys on that. And it's one, that and most of the counseling services are overwhelmed, not just in terms of providing services to graduates, but overwhelmed overall.
Right.
There's not enough, there aren't enough appointments for providers in the time of the day, day after day after day, to meet any need of this university. This isn't just a graduate issue, it's a campus, university issue. And that's a really important point to emphasize. And second is this problem where people wait until it's a crisis to go into the counseling, which makes it very complicated. Because, number one, there are only so many emergency appointments that one can attend in a day. But given that there isn't enough space and room to make appointments with, you know, reservations for emergencies, and the fact that graduate students are resource people, as frequently or as often as undergraduates, for whatever reason, time of day, whatever availability, the fact that anybody, mostly, who has any kind of internal phobia or stigma or resistance to going and seeking counseling and psychological services, the fact that we're waiting for the last minute, where it's already a crisis, and then seeking help, make that appointment that gets pushed off to next week,
right,
so much worse,
right,
and becomes so much more of an emergency situation where perhaps more negative things happen than if the person had gone, even at an inkling of an issue, or that everybody's going to, maybe you can see it before people, you know, embrace that.
No, that's, I mean, Dave and Tamara, you bring up some really good points. And so I guess one thing I'd like to bring up to this group is perhaps next semester, Basave, we can work with you and we'll write a resolution saying some of the things that we feel might need to be brought forward, some of the information that we've talked about here. And I think that would be a great thing to put forth from this body. Do we have any other comments or questions? Okay, great. I think that was a good discussion. Thanks, guys. And so with that, we'll move on to the next item on our agenda. As you remember from the last assembly meeting, it's protocol by the charter that we approve the line items, or we approve the recommendations of the funding policy committee line by line. And so at that time, we approved most of them, but there were four line items that we sent back to the Funding Policy Committee to reconsider. And so the Funding Policy Committee held some meetings and came up with new recommendations. And Sean is going to talk to us for a few minutes on those new recommendations on those four groups. So I'll hand it over to Sean.
Okay. The first one I want to talk about is the athletics. In the first meeting, that there were doubts whether the money contributed to athletics truly benefited the graduate and professional students, since athletics application included neither a budget nor an explanation of the money allocation. To understand this, the FTC checked the application from 2 years ago and found there was also no budget included. And Andy Knoll, director of the athletics, explained it. It is not the tradition of the department to disclose the budget, and it's also not allowed by the university policy. Also, the application 2 years ago showed the benefits that the athletics brought to the grad committee. So after the second hearing with the FPC, the committee reached a conclusion that the athletics play a major role in the university community, and that graduate and professional students directly and indirectly benefit from the entertainment and facilitate it, maintain. So FTC recommends that funding remain at $6. The second one is the Cornell Cinema. So in the first meeting, some members have doubts whether Cornell Cinema has paid enough attention to the cost control. And in the follow-up meeting, Cornell Cinema explained the cost issues directly and convinced the committee members that the allocated funds were being used wisely. So the FTC committee recommends the funding allocation to Cornell Cinema be $11. And the third one is the Cornell University Programming Board. this I need to explain because they requested the same amount of money as in previous years, but they made a mistake in the application to write that amount they had in the previous years are $4, but in fact it's $3.55. So with the satisfaction of their work, we approved their application in the last meeting. But since that they explicitly indicated their intent, so we cannot give the amount above the $3.55. So I will have an amendment later after this discussion to give the money to COPD back to $3.55. And if it's approved, then the 45 cents difference will be given to CPIC-FC. And then the Slow Pay Programming Board. And the Slow Pay Programming Board is a new group which has applied for byline funding, requesting $7.50 in its initial funding circle. This number was calculated using statistics from graduate and professional student survey conducted in 2007. This $7.50 request was stated as being on par with graduate and professional students' attendance. However, there are different explanations of the statistics, and the estimation of graduate participation is from 700 to 2,300. Also, there are thoughts about the value graduate and professional students place on slow pay versus that by the undergraduates. So the FTC has compared to keep the CPIC-F under $72. So by after reconsidering the statistics from the survey and the SDPB's budget plan, the FTC suggests that the SDPB cut some part of the cost from the graduate share, $20,000, and coming and also from the cut the budget of the second best spent for 20,000 and increase the amount spent on the best spend for 10,000 and the slow fest as the graduates and professional students indicated interest in more famous bands and the fest. And according to the explanation that Slope Day gave us, if you spend $10,000 $100,000 on the best band, then we can invite a much better band. So that's basically the rationale. And FTC recommends the funding level be $2.90. And the last one is CPIC-FC. CPIC-FC does not hope to decrease the number of allocations, but it is Leon said it is flexible to have CPIC-FTC to adjust the country number. So we temporarily set the recommended funding level to the CPIC-FC at the same level as the past year. That is $24.06. So if everything works, then after calculating the number, we found the current total number is $71.21. And if it is approved, then it will probably be round to $72, and the difference would be go to CPIC-FC.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, just a moment here. I'm gonna go ahead and
Michelle's working on getting the numbers up on the projector here, and getting her computer to talk to the projector nicely.
Okay. So I'm just going to leave this up here so that, if it stays.
Try to put in.
There we go. Okay. And I put in red.
What's that?
Zoom.
My screen is black.
You.
Well, my screen is black.
Yeah, so. Your cursor's already there.
You want it again, Jen?
Just do it again, Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
This is supposed to make it easier. You've got me using the computer.
Oh,
not
I've got it done. So zoom in. Here.
What do I do now?
Go to the
leave this up here so you guys can refer to it. I put in red the four line items. I know it's probably hard to see. I probably should have chosen another color. I suppose I still could. But basically, what we're doing right now is the procedural thing. What we have to do now is basically procedure, and as you guys know from the last meeting, we have to go through the four line items that were not approved at the last meeting and either vote yes or no, and a simple majority vote moves them on to the final activity fee vote. Amendments cannot be made at this time to the dollar values. If you do not approve of the dollar value, basically you vote no. And that would send it back to the FTC for reconsideration. However, that would also require that we have an emergency session of the assembly in order to approve this by Friday. So keep that in mind. But again, amendments can be made once we have all the line items passed through and we have a full activity fee on the table. That is what the last, 0.7 on the agenda is, looking at the full activity fee and voting on it as a whole. At that time, you can make amendments to the dollar allocation. As Sean said earlier, there was a bit of a mistake with the CUPV application. They put $4 on their application, but they've since told us that they do not want $4. They want to keep their funding at the same level, which is $3.55. So you note here, their recommended level is still $4 because it's already been passed through. It was passed through at the last meeting. So once we pass through the other four line items and we have the full activity fee, Sean will make an amendment to CUPB and ask that we fund them at $3.55. And we'll go through the amendment process. Okay. So at this time, basically, because this is procedure, we're going to limit questions and discussion to the assembly members, and you'll have 1 minute to speak each. Do we have any questions about the procedures or what I've just explained? So I'll be the timekeeper, basically, and Amy will keep a speaker's list, so if you have an interest in speaking, indicate, and Amy will keep a list. And so, first of all, I'll ask for a motion, unless...
Point of procedure.
Okay.
So, since I understand, there's an ambiguity in our charter about there's a line that says that once they've been through the FTC and the assembly twice, then a no vote means that they just don't get money. And it's not clear whether that means the initial review and then the second review that they've had,
right,
or whether that means the initial review and two more.
Right.
So I would like to move to formally interpret our charter to mean that that means the initial review and the subsequent review, which have already happened, so that a no vote would mean end of consideration, no emergency yet. So since there's an ambiguity in our charter, I'm moving to make an interpretation of the charter to clear up the ambiguity.
Okay, can you
state your motion one more time.
Okay. I am moving an interpretation of the charter that that clause means if we vote no tonight on any of these line items, they do not go back to the FTC. There is not an emergency meeting. They just don't get money.
Okay. Do we have a second on that motion?
Second.
Do we have any discussion on that motion? Okay, we'll have a vote on that motion. So basically what Andy is saying is he wants to clarify the charter because there is some ambiguity there. And what he's saying is that if we vote no on any of these line items, they do not get funding at all. Okay? So it's kind of putting the hot seat under the flame under our seat to not vote no unless you really don't like these groups. Okay, so we have some discussion.
I just want to make sure I understand when you said at the end where we can talk about this. Like if we vote, we can talk about this actual dollar amount for each one of them at the end, once we vote that this is going to be the activity amount.
That's correct.
So if I think that should give $5 instead of $6, I can't vote no because that means I get no dollars, right? So then I would vote yes, and at the end I would say I'd like to change it to $5 instead.
You would make an amendment, right?
Okay.
Okay. Is that clear? Or kind of clear as mud, right? But it's procedure.
The joys of charter and Robert's rules.
So is it guaranteed that all these groups will get money, though? I mean, can we make an amendment to say we don't want to give any money to some group after they do the total amount?
You can make an amendment once we, I mean, according to Andy's motion, which we will vote on in just a moment, if you vote no, then it gives them nothing.
Right, but I'm saying, you said that the dollar amount can change after we approve the total amount. But does that mean that we could actually cut one of these things by giving them no funding afterwards, or these groups guaranteed to get money if we approve the total? So my question is, hypothetically, could we say CUPE gets $0? Hypothetically,
after we pass these through line item by line item, when we go to the main activity fee, we can amend their amount to anything less than or equal to what they requested in their application.
Except to suggest they have to give them more than they requested or less than.
And that is stated in the chart. Okay, do we have any other questions or comments on the procedure or on Andy's motion? Here.
What is the alternative? You mentioned an emergency meeting, but what is the second interpretation of the charter?
So the other interpretation of the charter would be that if we vote no, that sends it back to funding policy for another review, and then we would have to have an emergency meeting to vote on their emergency review.
To vote on line items again, and then the overall activity fee. Mike?
I'm just a little bit uncomfortable as to what exactly this would mean. It just seems that we're blocking out, you know, certain end part of the process that's, you know, just kind of there anyways. You know, we're basically right now approving a report of the funding policy committee. And then after that, when we go to the final set of procedures, the final budget, we can amend and change that as we please. But I just feel a little bit uncomfortable changing the rules right now. I can't imagine any of these groups to be getting a no vote on this. And just to, you know, make that motion as a whole new way of complexity in the situation.
Well, when you say you're changing the rules, that implies that there's a rule that there's an ambiguous interpretation to change.
That's right. So we can have a vote on Andy's motion. If the vote is dissenting, then Mikey could present a new motion to reinterpret the charter, the rules of the charter. Okay. Do we have any other comments about Andy's motion?
I guess I have one. And since I'm holding the list, I can. I'm a little uncomfortable with this being the catch-all. I like there being a little bit of a option if the assembly as a whole decides that they decide they want to send the committee back to be heard yet again, which I think at this point they've been heard. The ones that we have to vote yet at this point have been heard twice each. So if we still want to see different dollar amounts in there, we can debate that on the floor with the activity fee amount. But I don't like the idea of saying that a no vote means they're done with getting funding, because that means they have to start processes all over again should there be a no vote and things like that, like the signature process and all that kind of fun stuff. So.
Rebecca. But technically, doesn't that already exist as an option for us? I mean, I know, like, if we vote to send it back to SC, or if we vote to not to approve it and then not to send it back to SC, that's one more vote, but we're still saying,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're not giving us, we're not giving you any money, and these 2 years, you need to cut it from, you know, 2 years from now, we'll fall.
Mike?
I think you're right, Rebecca. I think this is, again, a whole new level of complexity, because we do have that no vote option later on. And I think that's, you know, very valid. We have this option to send it back once more. Yes, the charter is a little ambiguous. Yes, I've tried to change the charter to parts myself, because I'm uncertain of what it means at certain times. But I think we have the option that you're looking for already on the table. If we choose to exercise it, and then just say no, we can pretty much say no to the funding policy committee again.
Okay. Is there any more discussion on this motion?
Sorry, just to clarify, what happens if the emergency meeting is called and no one shows up, or not a certain number of people show up? Does that also imply a no vote? So, I mean, do we really keep our options open, or if we have a meeting and then 10 people don't show up, actually it means the same as if there's a vote no today?
If no activity, basically, if I read the charter correctly in the last couple hours ago, if we don't have our act together, basically the activity fee stays the same into the next cycle until we get our act together. So that would mean the people that requested increases would not get their increases. The people that are newly applying for byline funding would not get any allocation.
I understand that, but what is the... How many people do you have to be here?
Have to be here
10.
For an
emergency meeting?
10. 10 of the voting assembly. Okay. Do we have any more discussion on the motion on the table? Seeing none, then we will have a vote on Andy's motion, which would basically mean a no vote means no funding to the line items that we're voting on tonight. I will not be voting on issues as the chair unless there's a tie, so I'll be abstaining just so everybody's aware of that. And with that, then I ask people, if they are in favor of Andy's vote, please raise their placards. All those opposed? Are you voting opposed? In favor.
We were 18. We are 8. Michelle.
I'm opposed.
So, 8-9, motion failed.
Okay, so we open this back up. Do we have a motion for an interpretation of the charter?
Motion to just vote on.
All right. That sounds great. Then the first item on the list is athletics. Do we have a motion for the recommended level at $6 for athletics? And do we have a second? Okay. Do we have any discussion on the level of funding for athletics at $6? Seeing none, then we will go to a vote. All those in favor of passing the line item for athletics, please raise your placards. All those opposed? Abstain. Okay, athletics passes. Great.
We'll go to 16-0-1.
16-0-1.
Next item is Cornell Cinema. Do we have a motion?
Move to approve 11. Second.
Do we have any discussion? Seeing none, we move to a vote. All those in favor of funding athletic or the recommended level of $11. All those opposed? One. And those abstaining? One. Line item passes 15-1-1. Next item is GPSA FC. As Sean said, this is kind of the variable line item, and so likely this number will be changing. Oh, and I have a mistake. It's 2406. I apologize for that. And again, this is the one line item in the activity fee that can fluctuate up or down because it kind of uses the buffer to bring us to a rounded, even number for the activity fee. So do I have a motion?
Motion for 2406.
Second.
Thank you. Do we have any discussion? Seeing none, we move to a vote. All those in favor? All those opposed? Abstaining. Passes 17-0-1. And finally, the last on the line item that needs to be approved. Do we have a motion?
I'll have a motion to approve it tonight.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Do we have any discussion? Discussion is limited to assembly members for the line items at this time, and community members.
Michelle?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I have a point of information. When this moves on, this is approved for now, it moves on to the final overall package. That can only be adjusted downwards from $2.90.
It can be adjusted downwards from $7.50, okay. Because that was what they asked for on there. Thank you. Okay, all right, well. Any discussion? Tamara, are you indicating?
Yeah, I don't remember the really want to continue to the actual amount of but I think that a jump from zero and from 1.4 thousand to 290 is large.
Mm-hmm.
I have yet to really feel comfortable that the committee can say really meeting the conservative graduate students in attending program. I am in favor of funding the Hope Day activities from graduate students, but I do want to emphasize that $2.90 is a significant increase. That changes our annual activity fee a lot. I'm not comfortable giving $2.90. I'd like to give something more, like $1.50 to support by line funding amount. And you might really do some drastic changes in the way that they are more inclusive of graduate students, particularly those in the online section.
Okay, and I think Brian had a comment.
If you remember from the last meeting, I was the one that got up and spoke out. Slope Day should, in my opinion, should receive some money, even though $7.50 is a little much. I do believe that the new amount of $2.90 is a little better than the original $1.50 that was originally proposed.
Do you have any other discussion?
I'm also not comfortable with the $2.90. However, at this point, I think it's important that we send it on to the activity fee and propose amendments to the dollar amount from there. And have that discussion as an entire assembly, kind of figuring out what we've found out in terms of graduate student values from our constituents, because I think that that's an important discussion, and there are people I know here in the audience who would also like to have that discussion. And so at this point, I think it's good if we save that discussion and take time for that discussion with amendments like that.
Okay, so everybody understands that by voting in favor of this recommendation at this time, you're only voting to move it on to the activity fee as a whole, or it can be amended. It cannot, the dollar amount cannot be amended at this time. You're basically just voting to move it on to the overall activity fee where it can be. Tamara.
When do we get to discuss, if it does get on, when do we then discuss the actual amount?
The next item on the agenda.
Yeah.
Yep. And you can make an amendment at that time.
Do we have any more discussion on the line item? Seeing none, move to a vote.
Second.
We already had a motion.
Oh.
We move to a vote. All those in favor of the recommended level?
14.
All those opposed, please raise your placards. And abstaining? Okay. Line item passes 14-0-4. Thank you, guys. And with that, we move on to the overall activity fee. So at this time, we welcome comments from the floor, not just from the assembly members, but also from community members who have decided to join us here tonight. We will be keeping track of minutes, but we will allow you to speak for 2 minutes at this time because we know that there is perhaps more to speak on. And so once again, indicate to Amy, and she'll keep a speaker's list, but please wait to speak until you're called upon. And please, I will sound the bell, so please don't go over time.
Question?
Yes.
Must that discussion be in that order?
No. The discussion does not have to be in this order, but I'm just going to leave this up here so that people can see what we have before us.
So we have to. I move to approve the activity fee.
Right.
As
so
for the recommendation.
We have a motion to approve the activity fee, at which time we can have a second and then open it up for discussion. And at that time, people can discuss, people can make amendments, so on and so forth. So Amy has put a motion on the floor. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you. At this time, I will open it up for discussion or comments. Amendments, again, indicate to Amy or myself if you have a comment. Okay, we have Dave, Sean, and Mike, Janet, Katie. Dave, go ahead and get started.
Well, my name is Dave Walker. I'm a fourth year graduate student in chemistry. I've done both of those on school play. I've also attended school play. I think school play is one of the worst ideas that has ever occurred at this university. I think the idea of holding a massive all-campus party, which in its idyllic state, the quintessential school play, would be everybody, right? It would be undergrads, it would be grad students, it would be the faculty, it would be the staff, it would be everybody saying, yeah, year's done, let's get down. I think that's a great idea. I think doing it on a Friday afternoon when classes are still in session is patently ludicrous. Personally, I think that slope day should be moved to a Saturday. I think it should be after classes are actually done, instead of while classes are still going on. So I think as currently, slope day is pretty much unfunded. I think it's just a totally ludicrous idea. I know for a fact that undergrads believe that they have the right to skip class in order to go to school day because it's school day, it's a university-sanctioned event. I think having a university-sanctioned event of this magnitude while classes are still in session is completely against the entire reason that this university exists, including building community among the students. I think forcing anybody to choose between teaching their job, that grad students, TAs, and going to a community building event is stupid. I think asking whose job it is to go to class and to be learning and choose between that, finishing their semester and attending slope day is stupid. So I don't want to be the person giving pop quizzes on slope day because it makes me feel like a jerk. But I'm also a jerk saying we're not going to have a class. you know, all that tuition you paid, all that, you know, the knowledge that you're supposed to be getting, a wrap-up, a finale, you don't get it because we have a concert that you need to go to.
Time. So. Thanks, Dave. Sean.
Basically, we received opinions from 4 or 5. Somebody think that we should totally give nothing to Slope Day. Somebody say, okay, this amount is not enough. So to solve this problem, and we did a lot of calculation, and to my point of view, this one is the one that can basically arrive at a compromise for most of the graduate community, because but it's difficult to say that this is the exact correct amount number, because this survey, as all of you received, there are many ambiguity in this survey, like the estimation of the numbers of attendance. The least estimation is 700, the highest is 2,300. So it is difficult to say, okay, it's difficult to take the extreme position on this two. So what we arrived at the number is a compromise between different opinions. So, and yeah, this is what I say.
Okay. Mike.
A couple of weeks ago, it became really frustrating with the entire process. You know, when people were asking me, why did we do this for a couple of years? Why did we get, why do we fund these groups if this process becomes so contentious? It seems, sometimes it divides us, like it did 2 years ago when we were assaulted by the student assembly and they tried to hold us hostage at the same meeting to fund Slope Day at an amount they dictated to us was appropriate. But after a while, and after going over, some of what's happened over the past couple of years, and actually after reading Port Huron statements, you remember that, Ken? Port Huron statements. In a participatory democracy, the political life would be based on several root principles. That politics seen as positively as the art of collectively creating an acceptable pattern of social relations. And that politics has the function of bringing people out of isolation and into community, thus being a necessary, though not sufficient, means of finding meaning in personal life. Now, I think we have done a great job with our activity feed right here to bring a lot of people out of, isolation and into the graduate, professional, and Cornell community. Athletics. I go to hockey games all the time. I love them. 2 weeks ago, I took my parents to the cinema. Great event. The FC funds countless numbers of organizations. And looking at the total number, for all we get, for $72, that's a great deal. Looking at how much it was 2 years ago, at $68, great. We went up $4.
30 seconds.
That's less than the price of inflation. And now we funded all these groups to the amount that they requested, and we're starting to fund a new group, Slope Day, an event that is community, that is bringing the entire Cornell community together. It's not perfect. Yes, and I agree. But one of those classes, one of those chemistry classes that I had on Slope Day, a lot of the undergraduate class, I had a lot of great face time with professors. I really enjoyed that. A lot of people might see that as an actual benefit. But we can't do anything until we start getting more engaged. We cannot put people on these committees
time.
Without funding them.
Janet.
Thanks for the opportunity to speak. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Janet Potenti. I'm past president of GCSA. I'm also chair of the events committee on GCSA and here in the Youth Assembly. I'd like to applaud the GCSA and the Slope Day Working Group for coming together and trying to figure out a way in which the can actually be funded in a sustainable way by the GCSA and our students. This is something I worked for during my presidency. However, I am also dismayed at the amount of funding that is currently being offered, particularly considering one of the things that came out of our meeting was that the Slope Day Group put on a survey to see how many grad students are actually going. Really, 37% of respondents to that survey favored Slope Day funding staying the same, or 25 and 25 were even the split between no funding and an increase. So, considering that the last 2 years we have given Slope Day money of $4,000, basically under a dollar per person, graduate student, and 40% of your constituents would like that not to change,
I'm just overwhelmed at the jump in cost here. Something more like $1 or $1.50 would sound a lot more appropriate. Keep in mind also that when we started the grad ball, $5,000 is all we had to go with, and consistently the grad ball takes external funding from other organizations that work with graduate students and puts on an event for usually under $10,000 to include graduate student fees or attendance. So I'd like you to keep that in mind, as it is an activity that does appeal to graduate students, specifically the graduate course every year, and we talked about expanding to get more of those students involved in. I also was here in this meeting 2 years ago when we had the graduate team, and it did feel like being held hostage. My apologies.
30 seconds.
Not the same group. But the last time they told us how to spend our money, it resulted in a serious violation of our charter, and we were required to go back and renew that, review it, and change all the funding options in the early meeting in January. So I'd like to remind you that I think the statistics have been put out by the Associate Funding Group are actually misleading, that 40% of grad students do not want more than $1 spent on Clothe Day. And I think it's far more reasonable to look at, say, $150, which would put this recommendation down to $70, even if it's split over
time.
The semester. Thank you.
Katie.
I have to say, my name is Katie Parker. I'm a fourth year graduate student. I feel like I'm becoming the reformed grad student as opposed to being the grad student. I have for a long time been the grad student field, but there's no sense in funding this thing at all because it's obviously not welcoming to grads, and the advice of first years are generally given is to stay home that day because you won't be able to get anything done if you work at least on that end of campus, if you're in history or in English. If you work in the library, you can't work that day. Stay home. But I also believe that if we want to have any say in how Clothe Day runs, it's important that we as graduate students begin to give some money. That's how we have an engagement that lets us say it's not working for us, change something. So I think that we should be funding Clothe Day. I think that we should be funding Clothe Day maybe a little more than we're currently funding them, but really not at $7.50, and I really feel that $2.90 is too high. $1 a person, $1.50. I mean, look at how much we're spending on emergency medical services up here. EMS gets $1.30, and Clothe Day wants $7.50, and we want to give them $2.90. Give them $1. It shows engagement, but it doesn't say that we love what they're doing and they should be done. Thank you.
Mario.
Yep.
Hi, another Mario.
Sorry.
I'm in the Fremont Department of Fiber Science and Cell Design, and I'm also an alumnus of the University of the Class of 2000. I personally have a huge problem with the fact of giving Clothe Day any funding. When I was here, it was a completely undergraduate thing, and we carted our alcohol onto the slope, and it was not controlled by the university. However, I understand times change, and getting everybody kind of involved and having a more controlled event is a good idea. But graduate students spend so much time giving to the undergraduate population, I think it would be nice if they actually gave something back to us. And I think this would be something that they should do for us. I don't think we should be giving any funding to them. I think that they should maybe show a little appreciation and not come asking funding from us and just put on a nice event and invite the whole university, including professors and faculty and staff, which I think is a great idea as well. But, you know, I just, personally, I also think it shows the lack of creativity of the undergraduate population if they are relying on funding from their undergraduate activities and our activities to fund this event. It just shows that how limited they're thinking. They can't engage in any kind of creative way of raising funding to do this event totally and solely on their own. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Adam, you're next on the list.
Oh, great. Thank you. I'm sorry to hear so many bitter and personal stories. For me personally, this is the first time I studied for finance, and I didn't realize there would be an antagonist in case we'll do that for. However, things which have been shared. I just want to talk briefly about our role here. By no means am I trying to hold you guys hostage. Our role is to assist in our charter. That's for our wind disturbing arising levels of funding within our organization. We'll come talk to you guys, our finance chairs, discuss the issues, we'll try to make recommendations beneficial to the entire community. Now, I realize that very little time, and I have actually another issue I wanted to address. But first of all, I wanted to say that our whole goal here is to make this an equitable, efficient process and event to serve the needs of the Cal University. Filter 5 is 750 GPSA, which, looking at the numbers, and we, the executive board, spent a couple hours talking about this, we thought it was a relatively per head equitable contribution. If you want to look at the numbers of students who walk through the gates on a slow day, that around 750 would be an actual per student, a level of parity, based on the fact that the undergrad student funding is going to get $15 over the next couple of years. The other thing that's been brought up regarding whether grad students actually enjoy it and whether they actually gain something from the event, there exists no accurate metric by which to judge relative enjoyment and whether they actually benefit from this event. We don't talk from Cornell Simmons model or CUTV or athletic and say you really actually get anything out of this event, so you shouldn't pay as much to go there. No, we don't do that.
30 seconds.
And so marginally, the only accurate way to actually assess this process and look at it is take a step back, put our personal opinions and emotions aside, and actually look at the numbers, look at the statistics, and by a per student basis, fund this event by the number of people who attend. And your constituency attends the event, and we don't understand why you think it's equitable for undergraduates, a lot of us who are on financial aid and share similar or more financial burden than you guys, why we should be controlling the burden for you. It just doesn't make any sense. You want this event to be one that's open the entire
time? Yuren.
I would like to echo the statement that I have heard that graduate students should fund Slope Day. I think it could be a great community event. And I also agree with byline funding as a step in the right direction, and that we show support that we do think that Slope Day can be a great event and something I personally believe in. However, I also find that 290 could be too high, and in that respect, I think $1 or $1.50 would seem more appropriate. And from this point of view, I have a question for clarification. You can answer it. There is this, you said that 40% said that funding should remain at the same level. However, whenever I talk to people about funding levels, I don't have the impression that they actually know what the numbers really are. So I wonder whether this question was, should it remain at the same level, or whether there was actually any dollar amount. I may have overread that, but if we could clarify that, that would be very helpful, because I believe that we should listen to our constituency in all ways that we have the survey, even though not perfect as well.
Janet, would you like to address that question, please?
Sure. I have the survey here. So what I remember, students were told that Slope Day was certainly $4,000 by the GPSA, and that we were looking to fund them from Europe. The numbers I have here are our favorite decrease in Slope Day funding from GPSA, 23%. A favorite GPSA funding from Slope Day remains the same, 27%. A favorite increase in GPSA funding from Slope Day, as long as it comes from the current budget, i.e., our money is used, we don't get charged more, 13%. And I would then there's 11% that would say I support raising the current GPSA activity fee at $58. I no more than $3 to support Slope Day, and 14% says send by no more than $5. So to that extent, it takes the change from the 50 does affect our community. But considering that $290 is $18,000, and we're currently kind of under a dollar a person, I think the community speaks pretty loudly to this.
Liz.
Hi. I'm sure some of you have heard of some new members on the board, so some of you may not know who I am. My name is Liz Rappaport, and I'm the current chair of the Slope Day Program Board and the group that puts on this day for everyone. And this, I mean, a couple of points of clarification so that I can make sure that you guys have all the information. The number 4,000 did not actually go out in the survey, and it was for that reason that when we read that question, we almost had to like mentally throw it out because we understood the same thing. Like they didn't know how much they were being funded. I mean, that could be something that could be positive or negative for either group. So unfortunately, though, that was a really important question for us in the beginning. It ended up not being as helpful as we would have liked it to be. The second thing that I want to say is that, yeah, Slope Day is a really new group still. The Slope Day Program Board has only been around for about 5 years, so we haven't had enough chance to really take in those new ideas, and that's really what I've been standing up here for the past, I've been chair for about 4 months now,
you know, we want t-shirt, we're going to have t-shirt sales this year. We're going to have like a Dragon Day shirt, there's going to be a Float Day shirt. So there's going to be a community, there's high community and a way to get revenue. We've also looked into corporate sponsorship. However, the problem with corporate sponsorship at Cornell is that there are a lot of strings. There's a lot of red tape we have to go around. So we have been going through all the channels. We created a Float Day Finance Committee to specifically address those questions, you know, where else can we get money other than these things? And we've also had corporate sponsorships and reflected Cornell sponsorship. So you guys also found who actually put the first event on for Float Day last year. Staff are invited to Float Day. They are invited, but most of them
30 seconds
here. The people that volunteer on the float are generally made up about half and half of students and staff, and so they are invited, but most of them choose to volunteer. And the last thing is, and I think this has been a great experience for us. I know we've fought this out a little bit, but I think we've made drastic improvements from the past few years, and I would really like to see those go forward in the future. And I think that by attending them, that would be a great way to do it. So thank you.
And I'm just going to quickly interject. I just want to thank you, Liz, for all your work and for coming to so many of our meetings. Either for Concert Commission or for Slope Day, you've seen a lot of our faces. So. Okay, Mario.
First year and really seeing, hearing the arguments on both sides, I just want to say that I guess in terms, there are valid points on both sides. I think that Slope Day could be definitely more welcoming to graduate students. And then in terms of, I don't know if there was an actual amendment from the conversations that have been said. I know that a couple numbers have been said, but no actual amendment. Right. So again, I'm basing this on really the comments that I've heard from both. I would like to make an amendment for $1.50 for the line item. I would like to make a.
Do we have a motion?
Yes, I would like to make a motion for amendment.
Motion on the table to change the dollar figure for Slope Day from $2.90 to $1.50.
Correct.
Do we have a second? Tamara, second. Okay, so we can have discussion on the amendment.
Okay, so we start a new speakers list for the amendment.
Okay, Andy, you want to be on the list for the amendment? Mike is also Amy Knapp. Andy, go ahead and get started.
I think at this time, since we have a formal motion regarding the actual amount, it's appropriate for me to share some data that I've gathered. And I want to thank both Liz Rappaport and Ken Tumble for being extraordinarily forthcoming. I've asked both of them a fair number of questions, and they've been very responsive and helpful. So last year, Slope Day got $12 per undergraduate student, $155,000. They got 65.8 cents per grad student, $4,000. That was for programming. For the logistics of the event, which includes the fencing, water, signage, police, the tents on Slope Fest, which I understand also includes the tents from which the beer is sold, Dean Students Office contributed $98,000. And Cornell Concert Commission paid $5,000 for part of the attainment for the event. Of those $5,000, roughly $900 is attributable to grad student sources based on graduate and undergraduate sponsorship of the Concert Commission. So the total amount spent on the event was about $300,000. Guest tickets brought in about $55,000, which all went to the Dean of Students Office to defray their costs. So at the requested level, $7.50 per grad student is $45,557. The GPSAFC approved level of $290 would be $17,623. That's compared to $4,000 in previous years. Slope Day has suggested that the additional money would go to a DJ between artists, bigger bands, enhanced Slope Fest, or to take some expenses away from the Dean of Students Office. But they have said that because the organization is flying performing the programming board rather than the steering committee, that they would not be able to use that money to give directly back to the Dean of Students to defray their expenses. I also asked the Dean of Students if they could tell me of the money they spend on the event, how much is attributable to grad student sources. And I got a very detailed answer in response, but the short answer is no, they can't tell us. Those numbers do not exist. So I'm not going to take a public position on the opinion on the amendment at this time, but I wanted to share this data with all of you.
Okay, at this time, I have 7 o'clock by my watch, so I will entertain a motion to extend the meeting by 20 minutes.
10 minutes.
We still have a speakers list, so do we have a motion on the table to extend the meeting?
So moved.
Second. For how many minutes?
20.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Rebecca, second. All in favor? You can say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay, moving on with the speakers list. Tamara.
I wanted to point out that on the survey, it's irrelevant that the figure of $4,000 is actually on the survey itself. Because the question I would support raising the current $68 GPSA because the current GPSA is being stated on the survey. Students are aware that it's currently $68. And then in that same question bracket, it says here, I favor GPSA funding remaining the same, 37%, and I favor an increase as long as it comes from the current budget, meaning the current GPSA budget. And if you add up remaining the same and an increase within the same budget, that comes up at 50% of graduate students saying, I don't want this to change. I want $68 to be a fair fee. I don't want that to change. Perhaps you can fund 12 days. Perhaps you can increase to what we're currently giving them, but don't change the activity.
Mike.
First off, Adam, I kind of my brother is an undergraduate student here on financial aid, and I sort of resent your application that we are trying to screw him over, or I'm trying to screw him over. I think that's absolutely absurd. But going back, you know, to the matter at hand, the matter that's relevant. Slope Day, it's an expensive group. It's an expensive event. It needs to be funded at a higher amount. It needs to be looked upon at a higher amount than the other groups on here. I was with you, you know, thinking that this should be, I was originally with you, thinking that this should be funded at $1.50, somewhere around there. But then I started going to some of these meetings, and I started going to some of the Slope Day steering committee meetings, and I've been finding out that they are doing a good job trying to figure out, trying to, you know, find alternative sources of funding, but also start to take more of the burden of cost away from the university and into their own, their own bylaws. And I think that's an important point that we need to make. We can quibble about these numbers all we want, but it still is an expensive program. It's still, you know, it's a one-day event, but yeah, it costs a lot of money. I think you know, it's suitable, and I urge no vote on that.
Mm-hmm.
You're like under.
Okay.
I think that just looking at the transition math, I think it's closing the $4,000 to, you know,
30 seconds.
Increasing our funding of it by 1.5 times, by giving it $1.50 on byline funding, is a significant increase in what we're going to be giving. And I think that the whole picture needs to be considered. I'm also in favor of funding Slope Day, but I think that's almost a 3 times increase in the amount of funding. $18,000. Consider everything that GPSA funds. Consider the grad ball. We don't keep $18,000 for a grad ball. Okay, consider the fact that it's on Friday. Grad students can't all. I've never been able to attend Slope Day because of my academic responsibility.
Time. Amy Knapp.
$4,000 has not come out of filing funding previously.
Correct.
Is there an opportunity for additional funding with that type of funding, money that's left over if we were to approve at a lower level and then just some the additional still funds are available, or if it's filing funded, is that no longer?
So the $4,000 originally came from the GPSA budget. So what that means is in the years to come, we will have, should we have, if we had chosen to continue to gift them in that way, now we won't have to because it will be byline funded through the student activity fee. They'll automatically get money that way, and GPSA will have that $4,000 to spend in another way. Does that answer your question?
I guess for this year, though, is that money already budgeted?
We decided to speak on that matter in January. But we will, of course, consider gifting them money again this year because they will not be byline funded until next year should this go through. Okay. Alon.
everybody. My name is Elon Greenberg. I'm the president of the State Assembly. I didn't want to take too much attention to having a spoke that chair, so a couple points I want to touch upon. The focus of the Student Assembly from day one when we first got involved with this process, we brought this up and mentioned your place board, and we met with a few weeks ago, is that we're concerned with the per head price of individuals and families. Okay? And the Student Assembly recognized that in order to meet the vision for what the vision is, that it's going to take approximately $15 per head every time we're at. When we looked at GTSA's final funding process, we felt they were only going out at $15.90. We thought that there wasn't a strategy. But here we are paying $15 per head, here's GTSA paying $15.90. A lot of what you said, I do recognize that undergraduates care more about slow debt than graduate students, that they don't have as much of a vested interest, like graduate students more regularly have families and whatnot. So there is a solution to it. And one of the solutions is to charge states for graduate students slow debt. After reducing the recommendation to get to $91. Some people laugh at that, some people think it's silly, but at the same time, too, it addresses the concerns you bring up. The concerns that a large, much smaller percentage of graduate students have a vested interest. Well, that's true. So then why should we allow the graduate students that don't have a vested interest and make them pay out of their grad student activity? Just, you know, put the burden of cost on those that actually want to go. That is a solution. And when we propose that to you as a solution, you know, the representatives that are speaking on your behalf said that's just not possible. Why are we trying to
30 seconds.
Bridge and, you know, cut this point? I think that, you know, what Sue said really indicates that graduate students just don't really care about the slow debt. Well, then put the burden of cost on those debt dues. And then reduce that as much as you want. But what we care about is the per head cost of each person walking through terms out of slow debt. And it doesn't make sense to us why undergraduates have to shoulder 5 times the burden per head.
Point of information? I have right here the president in charge of the Slope Day Steering Committee, and that says it pretty much needs to provide a festive opportunity for student staff to celebrate celebrate together. The Student Assembly does not have the power to charge tickets. And so that's not the case. If I had to shoot this argument 2 years ago, I have right here the charge. And to make that application,
actually, I don't make the application. One, during that speech, the Student Assembly can go ahead and charge tickets. I'm willing to go ahead and charge tickets during the Slope Day Steering Committee, but at the same time, too, it's important to note that the filing from the group up until this point that's been only filing from by GSA, not GSA. We have legislative oversight over their charter, and we're actually passed a resolution put into their charter that in order to receive student activity funding, they have to charge tickets on Slope Day. And yes, in fact, we can actually legislate that they have to charge graduate students for Slope Day if they are going to receive money for the
Else they lose money.
Second.
Else they lose money.
We're also losing money for months, but that's one.
What, really? That seems like really interesting.
I'm not afraid of you at all. You hear what you're saying, the Student Assembly assaults GTSA on Ray Adam. This is not a personal issue, it's a per head issue of people walking through the principal. All I'm saying to you right now, I think it makes sense to put all the facts in the table. And the facts are that the Student Assembly can, in fact, legislate the charge of tickets to the graduate student on slow day per head oversight of the charter proposal.
You just said you can't back that up.
Can a point of order?
No, thank you.
Brian's next on the speaker's list.
Thank you. Forgive me for not introducing myself last time. My name is Tony Forster. I'm in the Department of Microbiology and Immunology. Twice tonight, it was brought up the survey about keeping what the graduate students want to keep state funding at the same level. Unless I'm mistaken, this is the same survey we've already discussed with bias in their answers, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we're going to go with a number that we already know is biased in our judgment of whether or not this should be funded or not. Thank you. Oh, I think it was Todd Nickford on the graduate student genetics, and we actually didn't dance on slope day genetics. I hate it, but we do. But it's kind of a point, so the CUPD actually gets the correction that we haven't made on this yet is that it would get 355 instead of 4.
Right.
So if my math is right, if that's at 355 and if the slope day funding is $1.50, that brings that CUPD to $70, which is okay. It's the round number that for the two semesters. $70 doesn't seem like that much of an increase for the activity fee. I think that would make both parties happy, as opposed to all the charges. I think they should get money, but I think that'll kind of make everybody happy and that'll kind of coincide with the system that we had earlier about
about the activity fee trying to raise? I mean, that's a direct question, right? If $60 goes, or that was asked, how much money would you want to increase? I think it's funds low pay. I think that would probably be a calculation.
Janet?
Thank you.
Janet
Hoffman, Chief
GPSA budget and slightly increasing our byline. One consideration that we had to think about was the Ivy Summit, which we will be hosting not next year but the year after. And so we wanted to make sure that we would have money in our coffers to host the other Ivy League schools the way they've graciously hosted us.
Okay. So part of that money that each school is hosting is then going to the Ivy.
That's correct.
But if we still move to 150, you can still get maybe $50.
But it's still
150. You can still say
Yep. Mario.
I'd like to call the question.
Okay.
I'll second.
I love that. So basically, call the question means that we are going to vote to end the debate.
Yep.
And we need a two-thirds majority in order to vote to end this debate. So,
is there any dissent? You need to do this fast.
Well, first we need a second, I suppose. Should we have a second?
My second is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there any dissent? Seeing none, then we move to vote on the amendment to slope day. So the amendment that's on the table is that we reduce slope day funding from $2.90, the recommended level from $2.90 to $1.50. And can I see those who are in favor of the amendment?
8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
All those opposed, please raise your placards.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Those abstaining?
No.
That means it's
that.
And that's the majority.
Yeah, we're 12-5-1.
Majority has it. And so the recommended level for slip day is now $1.50. Amendment passes. Okay, so now we start a new speaker list.
Yeah, we actually go back to the old one.
Oh, we go back to the old list. And we were at
Tamara. Okay.
Okay,
that was me.
Amy.
So I move to amend CUPB from $4 to $3.55.
Second.
Do we have any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, we can move to a vote. All those in favor?
Seventeen.
All those opposed? Abstaining? Amendment passes?
17-0-1.
Okay. What's there? Well, basically, FC would just round, would move up a few cents, so 19 cents. Do we have any more discussion on any of the other line items before we discuss FC? Andy.
I just want to say that I think a really important part of our role here as a student government is to be able to make decisions in a professional and respectful manner. And it makes me really sad to see that the discussion tonight has not stayed professional and respectful. I also want to comment about athletics and the fact that even though they're required as a byline-funded organization to give us a budget every year, that their response when FPC asked us for budget was, we don't do that. I think that's disrespectful to this assembly. As I've been sitting here tonight, I've considered a motion to reduce their funding by a penny or something like that to formally show our disapproval of their disrespect to us as an assembly and as a source of their funding. I've decided not to make that motion because I think that our support of athletics is important as part of this whole idea of a unified Cornell community and a strong graduate community. But I do want to say that publicly, that I think it's actually in our charter that every Byline-funded organization must submit a budget in order to continue receiving money. And I think it's extraordinarily disrespectful to athletics in some say to us, well, that's nice, but we don't do that.
Just as a point of clarification, so I've had numerous discussions with both Annie Noel, who's the director of athletics, and Alan Katz, who was the former, I don't know his exact title, but he has been somebody who's come to several of our meetings. And they didn't quite react in that way when they were asked for a budget. But they've never submitted a budget to us. They, I don't believe, have submitted a budget to FA, and they don't even submit a budget to the Board of Trustees. So it's against university policy that they submit a budget to us. Those are the conversations that I had. Mario's next on the speaker's list.
Sure. I actually just wanted to echo what you said. I'm, again, new to this body, but being at the last finance meeting and not completely understanding, it wasn't that they weren't, they wanted to be disrespectful and not share that. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't go back and say we still want some kind of budget, but it just seemed to be a lot more a complex issue for them than, again, just saying no, in that they don't even, they're not able to produce a budget for the trustees. So I think there's more complexity there. We need to go back and have continue those conversations with them.
Alon.
Okay. I agree, Sarah Connor, her name, to put this question right now. We have the same issues with the hope that cool ahead and fail. In this case, the goal is to reduce the funding to $1.50, and you know, as part of this process, that's kind of a right. I think it's fair to say that we're probably going to try to do now. I'm very confident that this is going to refer to you to go ahead and legislate that. Undergraduate marketing $50 per head have to, you know, go ahead and pay, you know, that additional burden compared to graduate students. I really do hope that you know, you all can take responsibility for it. But the home parents and parents that we had seen here today in court, that the burden of not providing for graduate and not putting the case on graduate is going to fall on our shoulders. It's not our responsibility to look out for the undergraduate, it's your responsibility to look out for graduate students. And no point for the rest of the year.
Point of order, this isn't on conversation with the activity fee at hand towards the graduate students. Let's move on to our next speaker.
At this time, I'd like to entertain a motion to extend the meeting by 10 minutes.
I can call a point of, any member can call a point of order.
Well, it sure happens.
I think she just accepted it.
I did, and I asked for a motion to extend the meeting by 10 minutes.
Sir, on your point of civil discourse, I yield to your chair. At that point, I think it's not Russell. So, thank you very much for your time. And,
thanks a lot. And our meetings are open to the entire community, and they're always held from 5:30 to 7. Adam, I understand that there was a little bit of confusion on that. So. Do Do I have a motion to extend the meeting by 10 minutes?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Any opposition? Thank you. We will continue. I think we only have a few more speakers left on the list. And Amy?
So something I'd like to address quickly. Just the undergraduates choose to fund. I'm very glad that tonight we decided to amend it to $1.50 because the undergraduates choose to fund it at $15 does not mean the graduate students value it enough to fund it at the same amount. We, as the executive board, have been trying very hard to get the undergraduate SA executive board to understand that, and as you've obviously seen, that's been a difficult task at hand. So I'm very glad that you as an assembly made the decision for your constituencies this evening. And with that, I yield my time to the chair.
May I say difficult and stressful? Kristen.
I just wanted to know before they left how much they planned on charging.
A random number that had been thrown out at a previous meeting was $25. Yeah.
And so
I have a quick question. Weren't they saying they were going to try to get the scan card? Because all of our cards are student on that. They didn't scan them last year. Yeah. That's an addition to the cost of
Brian? Well, and just to follow up on that question, I believe it was Liz that told us at one point that scanning machines cost like $15,000 or something in that.
We don't have an attachment. So we, at this point, I don't know if Joe has an attachment on it, but we don't know exactly how much that would cost. But we also have the problem with the internet.
But once again, this would be an additional burden to the Flip Day programming board. So, moving with Tamara was on the speaker's list. Next. We had you down on the speaker's list.
Oh, super.
Okay.
So, I'm Tamara Cardo. I'm simply I wanted to say, if the student assembly or the funding committee for Flow State decides to charge per head for graduate students and we include $1.50 in our bylaw funding, does that mean that we're giving $1.50 and then we're going to be charged on top of that?
We can write the regulations into our Appendix B, which we'll be deciding on next spring, to where graduate students get charged, or that $1.50 then has to go to graduate student-oriented programming. Those are the regulations that we'll be deciding with this Globe Day Programming Board next spring in conjunction with their activity fees.
Right, but we're giving $1.50. We do have, in fact, that we're going to be charged. That's what? $1.50 graduate students are, you know, which the have come to us from our constituents
forgot to give you the 30-second warning. But
tomorrow, before you leave, come on up here for a second.
Yeah, if you do have to leave, please see Amy before you go so she can discuss something with you. Mario?
I just had a clarification. From what I understand, then, we can write into Appendix B certain things to make sure that we're taking care of the graduate students. For example, we can write in the appendix, and I'm phrasing this almost as a question, if we are to be charged, then we would want that money to go specifically to fund, you know, to do X, Y, or Z, or to not be used. I mean, there are things that we can do to safeguard that the funding that we do provide goes to graduate students. Is that correct?
Yes, in Appendix C, that is where basically the rules are set for all of these organizations. We fund you, we get these sorts of perks.
So
for example, with the athletics, we're funding you $6, we get free big red sports passes to events and discounted hockey tickets, those sorts of things. The same could be true for Slope Day.
So just for one example, if it turns out that graduates will be charged, then can we phrase it such that we'll say, okay, if graduates are going to be charged, then we're going to use that whole amount of money to buy tickets for graduate students, and that way they'll get in. Is that
could be something we do.
Just wanted to make sure that those kinds of options were available.
Yeah.
And I guess if I may just follow up on something that Mario said, you know, I'm sure that Sean, as FPC chair, will be welcoming comments from you guys when it comes to setting the Appendix B. So please, discussion does not end tonight. Things keep going on, so please keep getting out. Okay, and we have a called question. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right, do we have any dissent? Seeing none, then I ask for a motion on the activity fee.
So moved.
We just need a vote.
Okay, great. all of those in favor of the activity fee as it stands, except that GPSA FC would be 24, is that 25?
Yep.
So, which would bring the total to $70 even. All those in favor, please raise your placard.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, plus 3 more proxies.
All those opposed? Abstaining?
2.
Okay.
0 to 2.
Activity fee passes. Thank you, and meeting adjourned.
Thank you, everyone.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.